this year, but on Father's Day, we just love our socks and underwear. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. But nevertheless, we're thankful that you come and be with us this morning. Thankful that you're here at the house of the Lord. Thankful to be here personally. We've enjoyed a wonderful week at camp meeting, had a great time. The Spirit of God was there. Like I told Sunday school class, you didn't get to hear it, but there'll be some stuff that'll bleed out through the ministers that were there, I promise you, because there was a lot of stuff that was done and said. But we want to welcome you in the name of the Lord. I'm going to ask the ushers to come up, if you would, at this time. Take up the tithes and offerings. And the reason we do this is why? Because it's told that we need to do it in the Bible. Not because it's mandatory, but because it's our opportunity to give unto the Lord. Everything you do, if you'll do it as unto the Lord, God will bless it. So whether it's a tithe or an offering or an alms or whatever, here's the good thing about it. If you'll give it joyfully and cheerfully, God will bless it. Amen? So I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads at this time. Pat, you care to pray over the offering, please? As they're doing that, announcements, in way of announcements, Wednesday night, we want to make sure everybody knows about this. Been trying to put it on Facebook. I've been sending a lot of personal messages to people. We want you to come and join us here at the church on Wednesday night, starting this Wednesday. It's at 6:30, not 7, okay? 6:30, not 7. The reason being is the topics we're going to be doing and what we're planning, obviously, this Wednesday. Some food, and I did say that correct, with some food, okay? We need a little bit more time so we don't have to get you home so late, okay? But how many people have had the opportunity to taste Pastor Walker's pulled pork? If you have not, then this coming Wednesday is your opportunity to be blessed by coming and eating, because that's what we're going to be having Wednesday evening, okay? So if you've not had it, all what the hoopla is about, because when he gets up here and tells you about it and everything like that, he reminds us how good it is. Now's your opportunity to partake in it, okay? So starting at 6:30, we're going to have a little bit of food, a little bit of fellowship. Kelly's got all kinds of women lined up to bring this, that, and other, and Pastor Walker's doing his thing. And then we're going to begin down the road of a summer of prophecy. And when I say this, please know this was planned before this whole Iran Israel thing began, okay? This has been in the works for a while, but the timing of it is kind of odd, you know, to say the least. But we want you to come out and be with us, okay? Come out 6:30 on Wednesday nights, all summer long up to VBS is our plan, Lord willing. Got any questions? Now's the opportunity for you to ask them and all that. So why? What I said this past in Sunday school, the biggest reason to understand prophecy is so that you can help other people that don't know Jesus Christ to realize the times that we're living in. Jesus is coming back. Amen? Amen. So if you can, come out and be with us. We want to thank God for the opportunity to do it. We want you to stand at your feet right now. They're getting ready to lead us in worship, him and the choir. And listen, I've been to camp meeting. I know some of you didn't get a chance to go, but I plan on praising the Lord. Amen. And Bible says, let everything have breath, praise ye the Lord. Amen.
It was lonely in the dark, But you are working. It was painful. It was hard. But you are working all things for my good. Couldn't feel you at the time, but you were working, full of questions, wondering why. But you were working all things for my good. When I look back over my life and I think how good you have been, my soul sings, great is your faithfulness. When I get your love on my mind, I get grateful all over again. My soul sings, great is your faithfulness. Through the valley, through the storm, oh, you are working. I will worship all the more. Oh, you are working all things for my good. When I look back over my life and I think how good you have been, in my soul sings, great is your faithfulness. When I get your love on my mind, I get grateful all over again, and my soul sings, great is your faithfulness. And my soul sings, great is your faithfulness. You'll turn it around. You'll turn it around. Don't know when, don't know how. You'll always do it somehow. You'll turn it around. You'll turn it around. Don't know when, don't know how. You'll always do it somehow. You'll turn it around. You'll turn it around. Don't know when, how. You'll always do it somehow. You'll turn it around. You'll turn it around. I don't know when, don't know how. You'll always do it somehow. Oh, when I look back over my life and I think how good you have been, in my soul sings, great is your faithfulness. When I get your love on my mind, I get grateful all over again, in my soul sings, great is your faithfulness. And my soul sings, great is your faithfulness. You'll turn it around. You'll turn it around. Don't know when, don't know how. You'll always do it somehow. You'll turn it around. You'll turn it around. Don't know when, don't know how. You'll always do it somehow.
Has he been faithful to you? Do you have a testimony in your heart this morning of his faithfulness and goodness in your life? Give him a hand clap of praise if he has been faithful. Hallelujah.
From the beginning, you've been unchanging. Age to age, you stay constant, you remain. Every mystery, the questions I've carried are safe within your will. So I trust you even still. I believe you are who you say you are. You'll do what you say you'll do. You'll come through. You are always able. And I believe you've already so I'm running through parted waves straight to you. You are always faithful.
Jesus, you're for me, holding me steady. Every word you speak is a promise that you keep. This firm foundation cannot be shaken. My God, you never fail, never once, you never will. I believe you are who you say you are. You'll do what you say you'll do. You'll come through. You are always able. I believe you've already made a way. And I'm running through parted ways straight to you. You are always faithful.
And every promise you fulfilled, I believe that you rose again in victory, and that same power lives in me. I'm born again, I've been made free. I believe that the gates of hell will not prevail. Your church is still alive and well. This gospel truth I live to tell. I believe that one day soon you'll split the sky. You'll come for a spotless bride until my faith has been made sight. You say you'll do, you'll come through. You are always able. I believe you've already made a way. So I'm running through parted ways straight to you. You are always faithful. I believe.
you all sing it with us? Hallelujah.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. And what He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. Oh, this is my story. Oh, this is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. And that's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Oh, I trust in God. He's my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I sought the Lord.
sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one. He will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one. He will never fail. He will never fail. Trust in God. He's my Savior, the one. He will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God. He's my Savior, the one. He will never fail. He will never fail. Ooh, I trust in God.
You, Lord, for your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Sing it with us.
All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire and the darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful.
Oh,
all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able,
I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I'll give you your goodness. It's running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I'll give you everything. Your goodness is running after. Keeps running after me.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna sing. All my life you have been. Oh, and all my life
you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. I wonder if we could just raise our hands just a few more minutes and let's worship the Lord this morning. The Lord is moving up here and people are responding. I wonder if you would stand with me, if you would, and reach your hand this way and let's pray today. Let's worship the Lord. Father, we're so grateful, God, and thankful, Lord.
Do that one more time, guys.
God, to be in your presence once again, oh God. I thank you, God, and praise you, God. Magnify your holy name, O God. Thank you, Lord.
Love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire and the darkest nights. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is
running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I'll give you everything. 'Cause your goodness is running after. It keeps running after me. 'Cause your goodness is running after. It's running after me. And your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I'll give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful.
And all my life
you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Has the Lord been faithful to you? Amen. He never fails. Praise the Lord. Can we give the choir a hand clap of appreciation for leading us in worship this morning? And man, what a great place to be. I think we could close and go home right now and say that we've had church and been in the presence of the Lord. And we appreciate you all coming out and being with us on Father's Day, and we're going to celebrate the fathers in just a little bit here, but we're going to dive into the message this morning. And if you remember, last week we were sort of putting a bow on the Holy Spirit series that we've been doing, and we came across a word, yada, and then we sort of give the illustration there, the thought that you've heard that said so many times in life, yada, 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 you know, which means, you know, you know, you know. In other words, no reason to talk about that. But that word yada actually has a very deep meaning, very deep spiritual meaning in the Hebrew. And we're going to talk about that even more today and sort of unpack yada, 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 or yada, and help you understand that it's more than just information. And how many of you know that you can know things about somebody, but it's totally different than knowing somebody? Y'all with me? So you can know things about somebody, but really not know somebody. How many of you know you can know somebody and really not know all things about somebody? It's funny how the Lord sort of gives you illustrations as you go and set things up. And everybody was at the house last night and talking, and somehow military came up and this and that, you know, and we started talking, and I shared an experience I had when I was 13, and, you know, I don't know why I hadn't ever told them that, but I was telling them about going to, I think it's Fort Knox maybe, when I was 13. Back then, believe it or not, when you was 13, you could go and sort of do a week's basic training if you were in JROTC at the time is what it was. And that was my mission. As you know, as I can remember, as long as I was able to do anything, my thought was, I'm going to go to the Army. Like, I thought that's what I wanted to do, right? And so when I was 13, they allowed us to go for a week's basic training. And Emily said, so how'd it go? I said, am I in the military? So that sort of cured me. I was glad that they allowed me to do that, because after they put you through it as a 13-year-old, because it was, I mean, I'm sure it wasn't the basic training, 6 weeks long or whatever it is now, but it was tough. But anyway, in sort of talking about everything we'd done, you know, crossing rivers with ropes and all this stuff, and Emily said, "How come we didn't know this?" You know, and I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "You never told us that you'd done this." I said, "I don't know, it just never came up." And it dawned on me that she knows me, but she doesn't know everything about me and every detail of my life, and how sometimes we can know somebody but not know everything about them. And I think when we think about the Lord, how many of you know that no matter how long you live, you can know Him but probably not know everything about Him? But how many are you grateful that He's gracious enough to allow us to experience things and go through things so that we can know Him better? Remember at the grave of Lazarus how he waited, right? And they said, "You're 4 days late." And the Bible goes out of its way to tell us that he waited so that they would know that he's not only the healer, but the resurrection and the life, and that he was able to call forth Lazarus from the grave. And they saw a new side of Jesus, if you will, because of his delay. And while it caused pain, it was another way for them to know Jesus a little deeper. And so we're going to sort of talk about that today. And the idea that the word yada there is much more than just information. And so we're going to start in the Old Testament. There, we don't have a particular place we're going to read this morning, so you don't have to stand necessarily. But as we get into the idea of yada, I want to look at it in the Hebrew and then also to know God sort of in the New Testament, if you will. And so there's a spectrum there, or if you an idea of yada that we want to talk about. And you'll find it even in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, when it says, "God knows Abraham." And so God knew Abraham in the way of he had called Abram out, right, and told him to go to this place that I'm going to show you. And then along the way, God allowed Abraham to go through things, a famine and all these other things, so that he could experience God, so that one day when God would ask him to sacrifice his only son for him, he would be able to do that knowing that God was going to provide a lamb. Do y'all remember that when Abraham and Isaac's going up on the mountain and Isaac looks around and says, "Hey, where's the sacrifice? We got everything but the sacrifice." I think Isaac's getting ready to figure things out here. This doesn't look good. And Abraham says, "The Lord will provide himself a sacrifice." Now, I would submit to you that if Abraham hasn't followed God and hasn't got to know God, yada God, he would never be able to make that statement. He would probably never have the courage to load everything up thinking, "If I have to sacrifice Isaac, some way God is going to resurrect him or something." In other words, there was a revelation of God through a relationship that was built from walking with God. You've heard me say this time and time again, when Jesus talks about after he's resurrected, the things that Peter's going to endure for him. He said, "You were young, now you're old. You're going to go where you don't want to go." And we know what happens there through history. Peter's crucified upside down because he says he's not worthy to be crucified of the Lord, and all these things. And so Jesus is sort of telling Peter here the death that he's going to die. And I've always said that the first thing Jesus said to Peter and the rest of the followers was, "Come follow me." And then some 3 years later, he begins to tell them some of the things that he has to suffer, and they're going to suffer also. And I've always said, if Jesus would have went by them the very first time they saw Jesus and he said, "Come die for me," I'd imagine they'd still be sitting on the sidelines because they're not going to commit to somebody in that way that they don't know. Is everybody with me? So there's a distinct difference here. And so the idea is that we learn by doing or experiencing, okay? That's the first way of learning here in yada, Exodus chapter 16, verse 12 says, Israel will know God is the Lord by sending manna. In other words, there was a provision that was taking place there, and Israel began to know God because of the provision that God was going to give. How many of you know him to be the provider? That's a way that you experience God, and it's no longer just a testimony that you hear somebody say, man, when I was in need, God fulfilled that need. Or when you read the scripture, you see where he fulfilled that need. But it's a witness that says, I was in a place of need and God provided for me. There's a whole lot of difference in somebody saying, I heard what God can do, as opposed to saying, I've witnessed what God can do. And that is what we're talking about with a deeper way of knowing God. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. There's a way to know God through humility and submission. God is saying this, just be still, quit doing what you're doing, trust in me, and know that I am God. I said one time we wanted to do something and in the way of vision or whatever, and somebody said, man, I don't know that we can do that. And I said, that's what vision is. That's what something from the Lord is actually something you can't do. Or else, why would you need the Lord to help you in that situation? Are y'all with me? So if you can do it, you should do it automatically, because that's you doing your part. But there comes a point where you go, God, I've done all that I can do, and now I've got to trust you. It's in those times that we truly learn how to know God. We have a personal relationship with him. And Amos, he said, you only I have known among all the families of the earth. So in other words, God was saying, I know you in a way that I don't know other people. And that was, they had a covenant with God. God knew you as an individual. He so told Jeremiah, and I believe it's true for each one of us. He said, before I even formed you in the womb, I knew you. I had that personal knowledge and relationship with you. So when we think about knowing God in this context, we understand that it's not just sitting in a chair and listening to somebody else talk about God. It's just not a Sunday school class or even a sermon that you hear about God, but you experience God and know God personally and relationally. I remember one time my mother was sort of, and she didn't know any of this to that degree, but she was sort of on the back porch talking one time, and she was talking about salvation, and she said, man, when it went from my head to my heart, I really got it. And she said, it's hard to explain, but I was brought up in church, heard my dad preach about church or about Jesus, and heard all these Bible stories and everything else. And when I got saved, I believe I got saved, but so much of it was right here. It was what I'd heard, what I'd seen from others, what I'd experienced and listened to somebody else talk about God. She said, but one day as I was praying, all of that from here went to here. And there was a brand new world that opened up to me. I'm going to tell you what it was she went from knowing about God to actually knowing God. And you've heard it said, and it sounds corny, but it's the truth. Sitting in a chair in church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sitting in a garage makes you a car. Now, should we do that? Absolutely. But just sitting here listening to information isn't knowing God. As a matter of fact, I would submit to you, and I've said this before, man, we've got podcasts and teachings and everything else that you can go through. Should you do those things? Absolutely. But do not substitute that for actually knowing God in a personal way. Because when you know God and just don't know about God, you can experience things that others can only tell you about. And when you hear a witness, isn't it great? When you hear a testimony, isn't it great to say, man, I've been through, I hear what you're going through, and that's such a great blessing from the Lord. But when you go through it and you can stand and testify that God has been good to you, it's a whole nother level to know God and just not know about God. I think sometimes knowing God, a lot of times, will come through obedience and even discernment. 1 Samuel chapter 2 talks about Eli's sons. Bible says they didn't know the Lord. They were born into the family. They were born into the Eli's family. They were a part of the nation of Israel, and yet they didn't know God. Do you realize that God doesn't have grandchildren? I tell this story sometimes and giggle about it, and it's about membership. It's not about salvation, but still it sort of is a good way to illustrate this. I remember when Lauren talked about taking membership, and she decided she wanted to, I forget now how it even come up, but she said, I didn't realize I had to take membership. I thought I was a member. She assumed because her mom and dad were members, she was born in the church, raised in the church. This church is all she's ever known. She just assumed she was a member. And I said, no, just because you're born into this, you still have to become a member if you want to become a member. And that's the way it is with God. I've heard it said 1,000 times, and you have too. God does not have grandchildren. You don't just get grandfathered in because you're born into a family that serves God, but he has children, and you've got to have that experience with God and not just know about God. And we know that Eli's sons rejected God's authority and through that disobedience separated themselves from God. And so they didn't know God. And to know God, that's an active thing in your personal life where you learn to sacrifice, obey, trust, walk with him, and allow him to maybe put you into some situations that isn't always comfortable for you so that you can learn more about him. And I think that's the thing that scares us the most. I remember when I was sort of being raised up in the Lord after I'd gotten saved, I heard it said 1,000 times, you know, if you get blessed on Sunday, you better get ready because on Monday, you're going to have a battle. It was almost like they, you know, And I've said this before, I'd listened to preachers back then, and it was a big thing. It was a slogan, new level, new devil. You know, you probably heard me talk about that. When I was coming up, all preachers would talk about that. New level, new devil. Boy, when you get blessed, you're going in being for a fight. When you get blessed, if you come up here and get blessed, or if you step out and start doing what God's wanting you to do, man, the devil's going to unload on you, and man, it's going to be a war, and it's going to, and then they give an altar call and say, who wants to get closer to the Lord? So now you're going, hang on a second. Do I want to get closer to the Lord? Do I want to unleash hell and the enemy against my life here by getting closer to the Lord? And I think it was a right message, but in a way, they needed to make you understand that even if you leveled up, if you will, the same God that has been with you and got you through everything that you've been through to that point is the same God that'll hang with you. And there's no equal with God and Satan. It's not this. God cast Satan out of heaven and he has no authority over you and I. And it's not a big war where Satan's there and God's here and it's like a wrestling match. God took his finger and flicked him out of heaven, and you understand that there's no battle going on. The battle is already won, and we have experienced the victory when we accept Jesus as Savior. So why worry about what's going to come tomorrow? Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, even tomorrow when tomorrow shows up. Give him a hand clap of praise. I forgot to tell Liz we were in... I told Kelly, thought I was waving at somebody. We was at camp meeting. One of the preachers said, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I done this. Kelly went, who you waving at? I said, I'm waving for Liz. Because every time I quote that scripture, she waves that hand. Because that's her scripture. And she believes that scripture with all of her heart. So even at camp meeting, when he said it, I waved for Liz. Kelly thought I was waving at somebody. I said, I'm waving for Liz because of that scripture. But how many of you know that that's true? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. How many of you didn't know it's true because you witnessed it, not just heard somebody talk about it? You see the difference there. He'll make you an overcomer, but it's going to be through that relationship that you're going to know him, that personal relationship. And so when we leave the idea of the Hebrew word, Yada, here a little bit, and we go into the Greek word, into the New Testament, It's somewhat the same, but sort of maybe takes on a little bit more of a challenging idea. It sort of talks about this progressive knowledge that you can have in God. And that's acquiring knowledge through this experience. In John chapter 8, verse 32, he said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, here's what I'm afraid of. It's awful small, ain't it? Here's what I'm afraid of is we hear that verse, "You'll know the truth and truth will make you free." And we think just knowing that truth is what we got to do. But if you study out the Greek word, it actually means to know the truth, walk the truth, experience the truth, apply the truth. James said, if you're a hearer and not a doer, you forget what manner of man you are. You look at yourself in the mirror, you go away, you forget what manner of man you are because you don't do what you hear. You're only a hearer and not a doer of the word. And so when the Bible talks about knowing the truth and the truth will make you free, just to hear that Jesus set Paige free doesn't do her any good. But if she takes that and applies that to her life, that is what will make her free. Sort of like going to the doctor. You've got an ailment. You go in and the doctor says, "Okay, here's the issue. Now here's the medication. Here's the prescription to help what you've got." He gives you that medicine. You go home, you put it in the cabinet, and you never take it. You've got it. It's in your possession. You could take it anytime, but you don't do it. You know what? You're going to stay sick because you didn't take that medication. And so when you hear the Word of God, when you know these things about God, but you just hold on to them and you don't apply them to your life, as James said, then you're just a hearer, you're just an information gatherer, and you're not actually applying that Word of God and learning to trust God and to know God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 said, "That I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death." That's the kind of knowledge, that's the kind of yada, that's the kind of knowledge that Paul was seeking after. Was Paul had heard all about God from the Old Testament. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew all about God. But he said, "I want to know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings." In other words, if Jesus suffered, I want to suffer as well. I think that's one of the big, and we all have our ideas on why the church isn't this or that or whatever. And I honestly think sometimes it's that is our fear maybe to submit to the Lord and know this, that if we're going to reign with Him, the Bible says we must also suffer with Him. So if you're going to truly know who Jesus is, I hate to break this to you. People on TV would never tell you this because it doesn't make for popular preaching. But if you're going to know Him, you're going to go through some stuff. And you're going to know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering. You're going to go through some stuff that only He can get you through. That's what it takes to trust and to know the Lord. That's a different idea than some of the know that we see in the New Testament. So in John chapter 3, verse 10, Bible says that Nicodemus said, "Are you the teacher of Israel?" Or Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things?" Nicodemus has come to Jesus with some questions, and Jesus says this, "You're supposed to be the teacher and you don't know these things." That word "know" means a total different thing. It means to have some facts, to know some things. To know something or someone in a context of you've heard about that person. I think that's why marriage and some of these other things about relationship is really good. We had a marriage group that I thought was really good. And I'm going to tell you something. You know people, but then in a setting like that, you really get to know people. And, you know, when someone, and you know, you see on the movies or whatever, on these shows or whatever, they have the first date and they say, "So tell me about yourself." They're wanting facts about that person, but how many of you know you really don't know that person until you marry them and live with them? Are y'all with me? It takes that experience, that living, okay, that growing together to really know that person in the way that Jesus talked about in John chapter 10 when he said, I'm the good shepherd and I know my own and my own know me. In other words, they know my voice, and another they will not follow. If you've never heard the voice of God, you may get led astray because you don't know what the voice of God sounds like. You may not know what the voice of God sounds like because you've never put yourself in a situation that you totally trusted in God for something or in a relationship with Him, and so you don't know if it's His voice or not. But thank God for those that have come to know Him and applied His word, felt His salvation. How many of you know that even in the last days when everything's going to get very deceitful, that you and I have a God that'll speak to us and we can know His voice and He knows us and He will lead us no matter what. Give Him a hand clap of praise this morning. And so God changed everything in the New Testament when we come to know Him. Old Testament was all about knowledge of Him. He would try to lead them through things to get them to understand that He would be faithful to them if they would be faithful to Him. He'd even come down and try to dwell among them, but y'all remember how that went, don't you? They all hid, told Moses, you go talk to Him. Come back and tell us what He says. That's not knowing somebody. That's knowing about somebody. And so they were fearful of the Lord, and they hid just as Adam and Eve hid from the Lord. They didn't want anything to do with it being in His presence. It scared them to death. So God sort of made Jesus come, and instead of showing up as God did in all His glory, He wrapped Him in a little baby. What in the world could be less intimidating than a little baby? Are y'all with me? So God says, when I showed up and showed who I was, they got intimidated, right? They got scared. They sent Moses to come and listen to what I had to say. But that's not good enough for me. I don't want to talk to somebody through somebody else. And I could stop right there a minute and say, if the only time you hear about God or hear from God is right here from one of us, just do better. How's that? There's one thing I don't want to do is stake my soul on what somebody else says. I want to know that I know that I know for myself. I don't want to listen to somebody else. But that's what they wanted to do because they were intimidated by God. So what's God do? He says, okay, I'm going to come down in the form of a baby. And if you think about that, we know God's in control of all things. But we could almost say, man, what a leap of faith, essentially, that God says, have you ever thought about that? A baby is totally dependent on everybody around him. And God says, I'm going to put my son in this child. And I'm going to trust Joseph and Mary with my child. Have you ever thought about that? And God done that because He wanted you and I to know Him. I believe that's why John said He walked among us and we handled Him. It was the Word of God. We saw Him. We experienced Him. We walked with Him. We ate with Him. It was God saying, I'm not as intimidating as you think I am. I just want a relationship with you. I'll do everything that I can, even come down in human form and submit my son to the death, even the death of the cross. And that was the switch from the Old Testament to the New, because He told him in Jeremiah, there's going to come a time when no longer does everybody have to teach somebody else, but now I'm going to write my commandments in their heart, and they're going to know, experience me. Do we still need teaching? Absolutely. But if all you're depending on is somebody to teach you about Jesus from day to day or from week to week or podcast to podcast, you're missing the point. There's nothing like knowing God for yourself. As a matter of fact, it's Father's Day. And I'd imagine if our Heavenly Father could say, if we ask Him, what do you want for Father's Day? I would say this. He probably just wants to spend a little time with us. He knows us. He wants us to know Him. in a great way. Ain't that something when you sort of set aside time to celebrate someone like a mother, a father, or something? I know I've shared this story more than once through my preaching career. My illustrious preaching career. But I remember one time I came home from work and I just walked through the door and Emily and Brandon was there playing. And Emily was real little. Brandon was a little bit older than her and they were playing. She come running up to me. And I'm trying to take my nasty boots off at the door, you know, and she's hollering, you know, and there's Dad, you know, and this and that. And I'm trying to get to her and pick her up. And Brandon's wanting her to play and he keeps saying, "Sissy Boo, Sissy Boo, Sissy Boo, let's play. Sissy Boo, let's play." And finally, Emily turned around. She was feisty even then. Finally, she turned around. She put that hand up to Brandon. She said, "I said not now. My daddy's home." Well, can I tell you what that done to old Dad's heart? Are y'all with me? So here's a child playing, but when Dad comes in the room, it all stops. Because Dad's home, and I want to spend some time with Dad. I would submit to you that that's what your Heavenly Father wants. No matter how much it ensues when the alarm clock goes off and you got the day full ahead of you, it's for you to stick a hand in everything else and say, "Not right now. I got to spend time with my Father. Because I need to know Him. I just don't need to know about Him." I'm going to tell you, the role of the Holy Spirit is huge in that. And I know we've been talking about the Spirit a lot. I was laughing this past camp meeting, the morning teacher was talking about the Holy Spirit in this younger generation and how they don't hear about the Holy Spirit. And I thought, man, if you'd been around our church for last month, you heard about it about two or three times a week and everything else. But the Holy Spirit is able to allow us to know God because He searches all things. The things that can separate us from God, He'll get in there and He'll look around and He'll bring up things that you and I can actually confess our sin and remove that barrier from God. It's through the Spirit, through that agent, that we're able to know God more and more. And we can know Him, and I know you know this, in the way of salvation. And be able to, again, know Him, just not know about Him. I remember reading the scripture for the first time after I got saved. And I think it was maybe David and Goliath I came upon. And after I got saved for the first time in my life, it dawned on me these were real people. For years, it had just been a story in a book. Did I believe it? Yeah, I was taught to believe it. But there was a revelation after I got saved that when I read the scripture, it's just not another book about some characters and this big being that's teaching these people. But these were real people. And if these are real people, there has to be a real God. And He wants to know you. Paul said it like this: "I'm going to leave behind everything else. And I'm going to press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus." That's how you know God. You know His will and His ways by submitting yourself to Him. Romans 12:2 says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind and offer yourself as a sacrifice holy and acceptable unto the Lord." That's how you know the Lord. I believe you know the Lord in context of community. I think it helps when we learn each other and we get to experience one another. God moves and shows us things and helps us grow. I know we had our groups leaders meeting there the other night to celebrate the groups and things that were launched, the new ones. And we wanted to talk about what we'd done, could we do anything better, and this and that. And the thing that I got the most out of all that was all of our group leaders learned and they grew because they led a group. In some way, we all learned something because we're in context of a community. How many of you know that it's once you get to know, I don't want to say this. I don't mean this in a mean way, because I could say this about myself. Well, let me say it this way. If you really got to know me the way that Kelly knows me, you would glorify God on my behalf. You would go, "Man, God is gracious. His mercy, it endures forever. I have no problems with esteeming my brother higher than myself. You know why? I know a few of their faults, but I know all of mine. Are y'all with me? And when you get to know somebody in the context of a community, you know what you do? You go, man, God has been good to them. They've been gracious to them. Right? He also challenges you in community. The Ten Commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. You can't experience God in the way of full love unless you try to be in community with other people. I think that's one thing we try to avoid so that we're not tempted to sin or whatever. Like, people are my biggest temptation. Well, that may be true, but you got to understand that unless you love others as yourself, unless you're in a community with them, God can never grow you out of that. How can you love others as yourself if you're never around somebody? As the old joke goes, the alarm clock goes off and the guy turns it off, or I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I jumped ahead of myself. So a guy prays and says, God, it's been a good day. Haven't got mad at nobody. Ain't smarted nobody off. Nobody smarted me off. I ain't said nothing ugly to somebody. Nobody said nothing ugly to me. I've got along. Everything's been great. But I'm getting ready to get up out of the bed. So if you avoid everybody, it's easy. Right? But in community, you learn to love one another and allow God to allow you to grow. Even in your own personal relationships. Even in marriage. And we won't go down that road. But it's the truth. Ephesians 3 and 17 through 19. And we're closing if you want to stand. Being rooted and grounded in love, comprehending with all the saints, the breadth, the height, the length, the height, and depth of Christ's love, and to know it surpasses knowledge, leading to the fullness of God. Scripture teaches us that we're to cultivate and work on our relationship with God so that we don't have to take somebody else's word for it. And here's why. Because one day you're going to stand before God. And you're going to stand alone. And I don't care what you heard somewhere that led you astray or whatever. You're not going to be able to blame somebody that led you astray. Because God's going to say, I was there with open arms. You had my word. You had an open invitation to know me. Know me personally. I wanted to speak to you. And all you wanted to do was learn through other things. I believe there's something to be said about somebody that wants to cultivate a deeper knowledge of God by knowing Him. Because I'm going to tell you something. And I think this fits the bill maybe for a lot of people. Once you know God that way, you can never unknow God. You can do whatever you want to do. You can try the things in life. You can go this and go that, do this, do that, whatever. But once you know Him, you'll never unknow Him.